perfect, sinless, spotless record, man, is on me. Do you know what that does for me in this life? No matter what I'm facing, it gives me great confidence because it's His righteousness and it belongs to me.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. We are delighted to have you with us for the broadcast today. Pastor Bill continues with a study in the New Testament epistle of Ephesians today, with a conclusion to his message, the breastplate of righteousness. Now let's join the study.
He nailed that book to the cross, and every sin, every transgression, and every iniquity has been paid in full. Jesus said from the cross, it is finished, and it is finished forever. Amen? Oh, listen, that means this. If you are a believer in Christ Jesus, there is not one written accusation against you in heaven. Why? Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus, the Lord. Loved one, listen, that is what we call the incredible, unbelievable breastplate of righteousness that we already have put on. Amen? You need to know that every day of your life. That's how vital it is to know that. Now, there are others who say that Paul is not talking about that kind of righteousness, not the righteousness of God. Look at it again. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Some say that this righteousness right here is actually speaking of personal integrity. You know, you have to beware of higher criticism. Do you understand? Of God's word. Now, let me give you a few reasons why people have translated righteousness as integrity. Number one, Phillips translation. It says, having integrity as your breastplate. Now, listen, Phillips translation is one of my favorite translations, but I don't agree with that. How about James Moffat, another great Bible? It says, wear integrity as your coat of mail. And then another Bible that I really enjoy, the Amplified Bible, which amplifies certain Greek words in the text. The Amplified Bible says, having put on the breastplate of integrity and moral standing or moral right standing with God. Listen, every Christian should be a man or a woman of integrity. Amen? We should be that. Man, we should be the most honest and upright and people that we can be. But, you know, so I agree that integrity is absolutely essential. But here's the problem. I don't want the devil to examine my integrity. Because my integrity, even though I believe I am a man of integrity, is my integrity perfect? Is your integrity perfect? Is your goodness perfect? Are you a just person all of the time? Do we walk in love every minute of the day? No. Do you see what I'm getting at? Oh, listen. I don't want my own breastplate of righteousness. I don't want that because I'm telling you what, I'm growing in righteousness. Does that make sense? Oh, I don't want that at all. Listen, let me ask you a question about here you are the first day, the new birth, and now you're learning what's right and what's wrong. In how to please God. Has your integrity grown since then, or was it always just perfect? No, it grows, see? That's why I don't abide the integrity thing. Integrity is something that grows. Integrity, personal integrity, is something that matures over time. We are being transformed, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we are being transformed into the same image, which is Christ Jesus. We are going from glory to glory to glory in Christ-likeness to Christ-likeness to Christ-likeness. Amen? By the Holy Spirit that is working in us, in the life of the believer. So I'm going to tell you something. I do not believe for a minute just talking about personal integrity, because I'm going to tell you, listen, you cannot and I cannot stand against the wiles of the devil in your own power. You can't do it. It has to be God's supernatural power. Amen? Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. You can't stand in your truth. Your truth won't help you. You can only stand in one truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. Amen? God's word. God cannot lie, the Bible says. His word is perfect truth. It'll outlast the entire universe. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So our integrity, our power, my own personal righteousness, or even my personal integrity. No, 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 loved one, listen to me. I need and you need, we are in a war until we go home to be with the Lord. I need a breastplate that is perfect. I need a breastplate that never, ever changes, that is eternally perfect. I need the only true breastplate of righteousness, and that is God's. Man, Paul the Apostle, he was writing about his own righteousness. I don't want my own righteousness, which is of the law. He goes on and he says, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Now, are you saying, Bill, that our position before God is righteous, perfect, and like we'd never sinned? Of course, that's our position. Do we ever fail? Of course we fail. But here's the deal. We must take our position and make it now our practice. Isn't that right? In other words, we know what right living is. We know what wrong living is, okay? We need now to walk worthy of our calling, Ephesians 4:1. Remember what the word worthy means. It's a picture of a set of scales, 5 pounds, 5 pounds. It's perfectly balanced, equal in doctrine, equal in application. You hear God's word, you do God's word. We do that because we know the truth of God's word. So we put it into practice. Now listen, the breastplate of the righteousness of Christ keeps us completely out of hell. Praise God for that. But it doesn't keep us from the enemy trying to deceive us or tempt us, does it? No, that's why we need the breastplate of righteousness. Listen, our practice falls short. I know that. But my position and your position in Christ, it will never fall short. So the totality of our character and our conduct in the Christian life is summed up in one word. Righteousness. What is that? Okay, we need to live the right way. We know what right living is and we know what wrong living is. Paul told Timothy when he was talking to Timothy about lovers of money in 1 Timothy 6:11, he says, oh, Timothy, flee those things. You don't need to be a lover of money. And then he says, pursue righteousness. He says, Timothy, go after what money can never buy. You can't buy the righteousness of Christ. It's a free gift, amen, to those who believe. He said, you just run from that. Now remember this, talking about now how to walk out our righteousness. Justification is imputation. That means it takes what belongs to another, which is Christ's righteousness, puts into our account. Sanctification is, and let me back up, justification is a one-time act. It's not a process. Sanctification is a process. Sanctification is transformation. Just what I said a moment ago, where we're going from glory to glory to glory. And you cannot separate justification and sanctification. God never sanctifies those that he does not justify. Does that make sense? Very important that we know that. So Paul, writing to the church at Rome, Romans 6:13, he tells us, he says, listen, don't obey the lust of your flesh. Don't present your bodies as instruments to sin. That word instrument there is speaking of warfare, by the way. He says, but present your bodies unto the Lord as alive, as righteous, and so forth, unto righteousness, instruments of righteousness to God. Paul told Titus in Titus 2:12, he said, Titus, listen, he says, live soberly. He says, live righteously, live godly in this present age. And that's what we're to do as well. We've been endued with power from on high. We know how to live right and we know how to do things wrong, don't we? Yeah, loved one. We've already learned how to walk worthy of our calling. We've already learned what it means to have right living. What have we learned just from Ephesians only? I mean, what does it say in Ephesians 5:1-2 about the worthy walk? It says, be ye imitators of God as dear children and walk in what? Love. We're to walk in love. Go to Ephesians 5:8. It says, for you were once dark as now you're light. Walk as children of the light. You're the light of the world. Go down to Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk Circumspectfully. Remember what that word means? It means carefully. Walk with exactness. Why? Because the days are, their days are evil. Come on. Loved one, listen. We already know what we're to be doing. Your spirit, your born-again spirit, where the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're the sons of God. Your spirit is perfect, but not your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. So how do we live right? We do so by renewing our mind to the Word of God. Now listen to me. We don't renew the mind. Look at chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 22. We do not renew our mind. Look what it says. You put off concerning former conduct of the old man, grows corrupt, that old man in Adam, according to deceitful lust. Okay, and be renewed where? Oh, yes, in the spirit of your mind. Listen, that is the new creation. Does that make sense? See, the spirit is the real you. And so what do? You renew the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man. Here it comes, created according to God. Here it comes. True righteousness, true holiness. You renew your mind. That's not a one-time thing. That's a daily thing. You have to renew your mind every day, loved one. You have to be in the Word of God. You have to meditate upon the Word of God. You have to memorize the Word of God. Why? Because your mind, your will, and your emotions depend upon it. Are you listening to me? I can't tell you how vital that is. Man, listen, if I don't open my Bible every day for me, do you know that I suffer? I need it. I need to constantly renew my mind. I need to memorize the Word of God, meditate upon the Word of God. Why? My mind, my soul, you know, my will, my emotions, they depend upon the spirit of my mind doing what's right. And then what happens? Well, my will becomes God's will. You see? My emotional realm that Satan loves to beat on and attack becomes firm. And my heart, the center of all the activity, is at peace. That's why we must put that on. Romans 12, 2, you know it by heart. And do not be conformed to this world. Don't be dominated by this world. Don't be controlled by this world. Don't be squeezed into the world's mold. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Why? Here it goes. That you may prove. That's a great word. Test. Live out, experience, that you may prove what is that good, what is that acceptable, what is that perfect will of God. We live on a planet where the father of lies is trying to control it, who was a murderer from the beginning. Loved one, you need God's word. An unrenewed mind is an unarmed mind. If you don't arm your mind with God's word, here's what's going to happen. Number one, you'll never, ever put on the breastplate of righteousness, and you will never even know what it truly is. And you need that desperately because Satan attacks the mind. He attacks your emotional realm. That's what he loves to do. He'll bring up your past sins. He'll bring up every failure you've ever done. That's why it's vital that we practice 2 Corinthians 10, remember 3 through 5. The weapons of warfare are not carnal, mighty through God, pulling down strong. Remember that? We have to take every thought, every lie, everything that comes into our mind that comes from the wicked one. And what do we have to do with it? We have to cast it down. We have to deny it. Anything that exalts itself above the Word of God, you say, no, you're not going to get in my mind. That's not truth. That is a lie. You know, God doesn't love you. Yes, he does. He loves me. He loves me so much, he sent his only begotten son to die my death on the cross and pay for my sin. I was bound for hell. Now heaven is my home forever and ever and ever and ever. Your soul is depending on it. Your mind, your will, your emotional realm. You must renew your mind. You must know who you are. And that's not law, loved one. This is grace I'm preaching. Every believer should desire the word of God. No. We must know who we are in Christ in order to stand against the devil. Listen to me now. I'm just like you. I get attacked just like you do. Do you see a halo above my head? No, I don't see one above your head. We're all in the same boat together, aren't we? Okay, so I'm not telling you something that I don't do. You know what I mean? I have to do this too. You know what the breastplate of righteousness, the perfect, sinless, spotless record, man, is on me. Do you know what that does for me in this life? I'll tell you what it does. No matter what I'm facing, it gives me great confidence because it's His righteousness. And it belongs to me. It's been put into my account. It'll never be taken out. Phew. Listen, it gives me confidence. You know one thing I learned in the military? I learned that I was trained. When you go into battle, my teammates, my comrades, you can't go into battle unless you think you're going to win. You can't go into battle unless you're confident. Do you understand me? We could even say something else, play sports. You know, when I played sports, listen to me now. If you're a football player, you have to go in, I'm you down, buddy. You can't go in there and go, when I think I'm going to tackle you. They're going to hurt you. Do you understand? You take that field. You're mine. You're going down, son. You know, I mean, that's how you talk on the field. You did. Who you think? Do you understand me? Okay, you have that breastplate on, the righteousness that can never be changed, the perfect, sinless, spotless righteousness of Christ. You walk through this life and you can be confident in war, no matter what the devil, look at you. Yeah, you're right, I did that, but it's forgotten, it's forgiven. Matter of fact, God doesn't remember it anymore. And yes, I did that. So what? It's over. It's paid for. See, He will lie to you. You're never going to make it. Look at you. Look what you... No. Loved one, you've got to get into the Word of God. The breastplate of righteousness is the greatest confidence you can ever have in your life. No wonder Jesus said, listen, He told us in Matthew 5:6, blessed, oh how happy, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? They'll be filled. Jesus said, are you starving to death? Are you dying of thirst? Well, go after righteousness the same way. No, I know it's time to go. But let me say one more thing. You have to be careful in warfare about breaches in the breastplate of righteousness. What do you mean? I mean a weak spot. You see, the devil, man, weak spots in your armor, any part of the armor, they are open then for the fiery darts of the wicked one. You understand? And he hates you. He wants in, man. So you have to be right, not only with God, you have to be right with man. What's the great commandment? Love the Lord thy God, all your heart, mind, soul, but okay, second one's just like it. Love your neighbor as your... Okay, here you are. You have it all on, but you have to do what God says. That's the great commandment. And we know that if we get into wrong living can open a door, can it? The Bible tells us in James 4:7, says, he who knows to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. Listen, loved one, we have to be careful of open doors. Now, I'm not talking about open doors that we don't... I didn't know I opened it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about deliberate open doors. And one of the worst, and I see it all the time in the body of Christ, and it's so deadly. How can a born-again, spirit-filled, blood-bought Christian who is clothed in the righteousness of Christ, girded around with truth, who Jesus paid for all of their sins. Oh, listen, how can they destroy another believer? How can they lie or slander about another believer, another brother or a sister? Do you know when they do that? Listen to me. When a person, a believer, lies against another believer and spreads things that are not true deliberately, you know what I mean? Listen to me now. You just gave the devil legal ground and a legal right. Why? Because you just used your mouth for him. You became the accuser of God's people. You became the accuser of the brethren. And those people are cleansed like we're cleansed. Amen? We're all in the body of Christ. Oh, you can't do that. Listen, you say, well, Bill, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, it is. You're accusing. When a person lies and gossips, here's what they don't understand. They're actually doing it before the throne of grace. Did you know that? How can that be, Bill? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:6 that you are seated with Christ where? That is your position. God sees you already there. Does that make sense? So when you bring these accusations, you know what? When salt water and fresh water, it shouldn't come out of our mouth. You can't love God whom you have not seen and curse man whom you have seen. That can't happen. Do you see the door that you just opened? That a Christian, we don't want to do that, loved one. One more scripture and we're going to go home. 1 John 2:28. Now, little children, right now, it says, abide in him, live in him, dwell in him. It says, and when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. He may come today, amen? Now listen, if you know that he is righteous, and we know that he is our righteousness, the Lord our righteousness, praise the Lord. He says, if you know that he is righteous, here it comes, you know everyone who practices righteousness, the lifestyle of habitual lifestyle of righteousness, here it comes, is born of him. Born again. Oh, listen, you have on the breastplate. You walk in this world, don't you? Man, Jesus is the lifter of our heads, amen? You've overcome the wicked one. Greater is he who is in you than he that's in this world. Now, I want to close, but I want you to listen to me. In my early, early morning prayer time this morning, and I always go over my notes early in the morning. I get up about 4 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock. I have my prayer time, and I go through everything. Lord, does this stink? And you know what I mean. What do you want? In other words, show me wondrous things from thy word, O God. That's what I pray. And I said, do you want this in it? And I just go through it, and I'm alone. It's dark and nothing but the light of my PC or my laptop, whatever it is. And I always say, Lord, how do I close the service? How do you want me to bring this to, well, everything that we've learned, how do we bring it to an end? And I was shocked because the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart. I'm going to read exactly what he said. He said, it is time for all prodigals to come home. It's time for all my prodigals to come home, to get out of the pig pen, to come to themselves, to get out of the mire of sin and all the rest of it. Why? Because your Father is waiting on you to come home. And what does he want to do when you come home? Because he's waiting. Oh, he's there looking just like the prodigal father in Luke's gospel. Oh, every day, and he sees a son. He sees a daughter. He sees him coming. What does he do? He lifted up his robe. He starts running. He says, oh, there's my son. He was dead. Now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. And he comes in, and he's going to rehearse, remember, the speech to his dad because he took his inheritance and wasted it on prodigal living. What did the dad do? Fell upon him, weeping, kissing him. He said, oh, get the sandals. Put him on his feet. Get that ring. Give my son authority back. He's been away from me. He's been out in a far country. He said, bring the robe. Let me cover his shame. Let me cover his guilt. Let me cover his sin. Bring the robe of righteousness. You need to get out of the pig pen if you're in it. You need to come home and get right with God right this minute. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, you know who you are. I love you, man. I'm not beating on you, but I'm telling you, if that's you, he says, I want you to come home now. And here's how you do it. You don't have to come to this altar, but would you lift your hand and say, Bill, that's me. I just want to come home this morning. I want to get right with God. I want everything done. I want it in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for those that are here. I thank you that you're touching each and every heart in your own special way that only you can do. And Lord, I know there were so many in the first service that got right with you. And Lord, today, bless them. Help them. We love you because there's no one like you, Lord. Thank you for your word. For we know the truth, and you promise that the truth would set us free. We pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen.
Thanks everyone for listening with us today. We'll continue Pastor Bill's study from Ephesians on tomorrow's program, and we do hope you'll tune in once again. We hope you have a wonderful day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.